You are listening to a message from ICS Church. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.
Hello, everyone. Welcome once again to ICS Church. My name is Chad. I'm one of the pastors here at the church. If you haven't done so yet, please go ahead and share the stream and give a comment down in the comment section. Let us know where you are watching from, especially if this is your very first time. And if you're a regular at ICS Church, it's always a joy for us to have you. Tag some friends, tag some family who may not be watching with you right now. Now, it's always fun to be together and just to interact and enjoy our time together, even as we get into the Word. The title for today's message is Thieves, Shepherds, and a Better Life. How many of you have ever encountered a con artist? Have you ever been conned? Or maybe there's somebody that you know who experienced a con. I don't know why they're called artists. The only thing I could think of is because they're very creative, innovative, and many times they're really smart. I've never experienced this personally in my life. If that's you, would you comment below or just hit the thumbs up and just say, hey, that's me. Or maybe you don't want to admit that, so just skip the comments if you don't want to admit that. But there are some people who I know. I remember when I was in college, we had a helper staying with us. And one afternoon, she was by herself at home. I was in school. My parents were at work. And my parents, on the way home, found her distraught. She had just, you know, she had just left the house a few meters carrying all kinds of things. And they encountered her. So, of course, quickly, they stopped their car, came out and asked her what was going on. And she was just shell-shocked and surprised to see them, because apparently about 45 minutes to an hour earlier, somebody had called her who knew our names, the names of my parents, and told her that we had been in an accident and she needs to get, you know, money and jewelry and whatever there was of value in the house and go to a particular location in the city to try to pay for our medical expenses. This was a very smart con, because she actually believed that it really happened, because they knew our details, they knew our information, they knew the names of our family, and she was convinced, our helper was convinced that this accident had happened, and she was on the way to actually kind of bring money and payment. No, she had to break down doors and open cabinets just to be able to find finance or money and whatever there was at home that she could use as collateral to pay for those medical expenses. Long story short, of course, after that, she was pretty traumatized. And, you know, she had to, we had to talk to her, had to counsel her, because it was a very, very traumatic experience for her. And, you know, it's never fun when you experience that or somebody you know experiences it, because it's very real. These cons take place and, you know, you're made to believe a truth that is actually in the end a lie. A lie. I mean, thank God for those who are kind of interrupted along the way. They don't end up going through and being totally conned. But there are so many people, not just in the Philippines, but around the world, who have fallen victims to these con artists, especially in this time and era of identity theft. This is something that all of us need to be very careful of in this season. And, you know, that's what we want to talk a little bit about today, because when it comes to our spiritual walk and our daily life, it's not just these smart criminals that get us. You know, when it comes to following Jesus or seeking to live a full life, we could actually be deceived in the process and not even know it. But the good news is Jesus came so that we could live a full and abundant life. In fact, John writes down what Jesus talks about in John chapter 10. In verse 10, he says, "The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose," Jesus speaking right here, "is to give them a rich and satisfying life." Now, if you've been a Christian for a while, you probably would have heard this verse already. You may have even quoted it, you know, when you're talking about Jesus and thinking about things in your life that's not going well. And whenever you've thought about the thief, you've thought about the devil. Is that you? Is that you? Have you thought about that? But you know what's interesting about this passage right here? The thief here is actually not the devil. It's not the devil. Although a lot of what is described, right, stealing, killing, destroying, does the devil do that? Yes. But in this particular context, in this story, in this teaching that Jesus is talking about, he's actually not referring to the devil at this point in time. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. What is Jesus actually implying here? What is he teaching? Because the second part of it is actually true. Jesus came that we may experience a rich and satisfying life. Here's our thought for today that I'd love for you to remember. You can write this down or just repeat it after you read it on the screen so you can remember it. The voice you listen to directs the quality of your life. The voice you listen to directs the quality of your life. So we really need to be careful about the voices that we intently listen to, that ultimately we follow, because that will shape and determine the direction of our life. So let's look at the bigger context of where this passage is actually coming from. So for us to understand it, just like in any gospel story, in any narrative, we have to look at the bigger story, not just the verse itself, but look at the bigger story. So it starts in John chapter 10 and verse 1. Verse 1. So 9 verses earlier, Jesus again is the one that is teaching and preaching here. John, who is one of the closest disciples of Jesus, is the one that has recorded and witnessed this and has included it in the Gospel of John. And so here Jesus speaking, he says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who speaks over the wall, sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber." Right? I mean, does that make sense? Pretty much. Right? Normally, if you're a shepherd, you go through the door. You don't go through any other passage. "But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep," he says. "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice." So a couple of things that we find in the story. First of all, we have the sheep. There's a gatekeeper. There is a shepherd as well that is mentioned, and others who are non-shepherds. So he says here, you know, it's normal if you're a shepherd, you go through the gate. And again, in this context, this is an agricultural context in the first century. They understood what he's talking about. Now, for those of us who did not grow up, you know, I grew up in the city. So no idea of what he's talking about here. So I had to do a little read on the background. And this was very normal for them. So back in the day, Bible times, and right here in Jerusalem, this is something that was clear to them. They have these sheepfolds, that's called, right? Sheep pens, where they keep the sheep. And in these places, sometimes you have a gatekeeper. And when the shepherd comes, of course, the gatekeeper would already know who you are and will open the gate so that you can come in and tend to your sheep. But if you're not the shepherd, right? It says if you're somebody with a wrong intent and that is not you, you probably won't use that usual route. Right? Either you'd climb over the fence or go through a different path. So the gatekeeper won't keep you in check. And so he says, you know what? This is what is done. This is a normal practice. Apparently, this is something that was normally happening. There were sheep stealing that was happening in this agricultural culture. And so at this point, you know, we can imagine the people there are listening and they're like, yeah, okay, you know, they're nodding their heads and they're saying, yeah, you know, I understand where he's coming from. Maybe there were some shepherds in the audience that were saying, yeah, for sure. You know, if you're the shepherd, you go through the gate. And I know, man, I know there are people who are non-shepherds who go through the fence and go through illegally with the purpose of stealing the sheep. But what's clear here, it says here that the sheep know the shepherd's voice. This is really important because as you enter a sheep pen, if you are the real shepherd and you start calling out to the sheep, they will begin to respond to you. If not, then you probably won't get a proper response from them. So it's very clear here that the flock that gathers together knows who the shepherd is. You know, one of the interesting things that you'll find if you've never been to a sheep farm is just go online and search videos on shepherds. And it's really fascinating to see some of these videos where they tour tourists who come to sheep farms and they ask them, hey, try to call the sheep to come to you. And, you know, they'll have 1, 2, 3 tourists calling out to the sheep that is scattered on the field and there's no response. And finally, they'll get a shepherd to come and call out to the sheep. He'll call out 1, 2, 3 times and you see the sheep running towards the voice of the shepherd. Why? Because they know the shepherd's voice. So again, as Jesus is telling them the story, people are nodding their heads and they're like, yeah, of course the sheep knows the shepherd's voice. Of course they're going to come and follow him because that was very common to them. But again, this may not be clear to us. And so here it says in the following verse, it says, those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. Could you relate? Right? Could you relate to this? Like, I don't get what he's talking about. Okay, so there's sheep, there's shepherds, there's a thief, and they know his voice. Great. How do the sheep know the shepherd's voice? Because over time, real shepherds spend time with the sheep. A lot of times, you know, from the time that they're little lambs, when they're born, the shepherds who care for them take time to tend for them. And some of them even identify them by name. And there are some shepherds who do that. But for others, it's just familiarity with the voice of the shepherd. So a time comes when, you know, the shepherd doesn't have to drive the sheep. All he needs to do is to talk and start to walk along the way and call out to them. And as he does that, as he leads the way and hears his voice, they end up following him. So what is his intention? What is Jesus' intention in actually bringing this illustration? So here in the following verses, he explains it to those that were listening. In verse 7, he said, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and find good pasture. So here, Jesus begins to break down his story and his illustration. And he says here, you know, there are people who came before me. Well, first of all, he says that he is the gate, right? He says he is the gate. And again, how does that work? Again, you know, in our 21st century mindset, we don't really get a clear picture. But from what I've read and what the experts have said, in some of these sheep pens, what the shepherd would do, they would gather the sheep in the sheep pens and, you know, it would be fenced in, but the gate would be open. So what the shepherd does is he would lay down by the entrance and exit point. And so literally the shepherd is actually the gate. And here Jesus is saying, you know what? I am the gate when it comes to the sheep. And truth comes from and through me. He says, all who came before me were thieves and robbers in verse 8. But the true sheep did not listen to them. Now, what again is he referring to? Now, in the first century, when they talked about religious leaders and sometimes even political leaders, they were also called and identified as shepherds, as people who would, you know, tend to people, take care of people. And so at this point, Jesus speaking, he was saying, you know what? There were some who were actually like thieves and robbers, who weren't real shepherds who came before me. And he makes an audacious claim that he is the gate and those who come through him will be saved. But again, it qualifies. You know, these guys, the sheep, just freely come and go. It's not something that I impose on them, but it is something that they respond to. My sheep, Jesus saying, those who really follow me, those who belong to me, they know my voice and they respond to my voice. So again, we could just imagine probably in the audience at this point, there were some who were pretenders. There were some who were saying that we are teachers of the way to God, but were in fact leading people astray. They were people who were political organizers who were saying, you know what? We will bring salvation. You will be saved from the oppressors. But they were actually also leading for their own personal gain. The only reason they were doing this was to gain popularity, to gain a following. But in the end, it would actually not lead to salvation. So Jesus, again, bringing it up and saying, hey, there are all these guys that have come before, but it's always been empty. And they've never really delivered on the message that they were saying, because there it's not true salvation that they were offering. They were false teachers. They were false messiahs. They were false leaders. And Jesus says, if you want to experience real and true salvation, you've got to listen to my voice, because those who truly follow me know my voice. That's a very bold claim. And you can imagine in the crowd, some of these maybe teachers of the law and possibly even political organizers and leaders were starting to get a bit stirred up in their emotions. And so Jesus continues to explain his illustration, what he meant. And we come to the point that is very popular with many Christians, verse 10 of John chapter 10. He says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So again, he says, you know what? These guys that came before me, that's their intention. That's their intention. It's to steal, to kill, to destroy. It's actually not to give you life. It is only for their own personal gain. I am the good shepherd. Again, a bold claim that Jesus makes. He says, first of all, that he is the gate, that salvation is found only through him. And now he says he is the good shepherd. Now, if there's a good shepherd, then of course, conversely, there must be a bad shepherd. That's right. So he says, the good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. And he makes a comparison right here in the following verse. He says, a hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. Now again, many of them who are familiar with this were probably nodding their heads. A lot of the shepherds were saying, yeah, I know people who are fake shepherds. They're not really there to take care of the sheep. One reason is because it's not their sheep, right? They're working for somebody else who owns those flock of sheep. And for shepherds who own the sheep, they're like, yeah, you know, I've hired some people who are like that. I know exactly what has happened because I've lost flocks because of wolf attacks, right? So here he begins to compare the good shepherd versus the bad shepherd. And the bold claim that he's making right now, Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd. He continues on in verse 14. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not in the sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. The Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to and also to take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded. And thus ends his explanation to his illustration. So here it's very clear. Again, he was painting a picture that separated what a good shepherd looks like compared to a bad shepherd. Again, he was saying, you know, there were some who came before me. And who was Jesus? He was a teacher of the law. And he was saying they had bad intentions. They came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. How do we know this? Because of what has happened, what has transpired. And he gave a clear illustration between a good shepherd and a bad shepherd. You know, some of these guys have come, and it was really for their own gain. And he compares them to wolves. He says, you know, they've come in, and when difficulties come, what do? They abandon the sheep. They run to the hills. They run for their own life because they really didn't come out of concern for those that they were following them. No, they were happy when many people were following them because it made them famous. It made them popular, right? It allowed them to have power over others. But when difficulties came, they were nowhere to be seen. In comparison to Jesus and what he was about to do, right? At this point, Jesus had not yet sacrificially offered his life. So he was prophetically saying, as a good shepherd, this is what is going to happen. Good shepherds do this. They come to a point where they actually would be willing to lay down even their own life. There's a big difference between good shepherds and bad shepherds. Good shepherds are there to go after the welfare, to look after for the welfare of the sheep, their flock, and those that they are tending to. They're not there for personal gain. And so we need to be really careful, because the sheep that he's talking about here obviously are the people. As people, as we listen to different teachers, as we look to people who influence our lives, we need to be aware that there are voices that speak over us and that we allow to be directed by, who may not have good intentions, right? At the beginning, it sounds good, just like a good con. They paint a good picture, a good image. They may know a lot of things even about us, possibly even about the Word. But in the end, when difficulties come, it's actually not about our welfare they're after. They are there for personal gain. We've seen this happen over time when people have come professing and saying, you know what, follow me, I'll show you a better life, invest in this, give your life to this, give your money to this, give your energy and your skills to this. But in the end, they disappear together with our money, together with all the efforts that we have put in, and we end up with nothing. We end up probably worse than when we first met them. And Jesus at this point is saying, hey, you have to be careful about those kinds of leaders, those kinds of teachers who profess and give all kinds of promises but don't deliver. A good shepherd does not do that. Why? Because a good shepherd comes in and is not in it for himself. He's in it so that he could give and tend for the sheep. Right? Good shepherds come in and they lead sheep to good pastures. Good shepherds come in and they're in it when difficulties come in, when the wolves come in. Good shepherds do not run away. In fact, they do the opposite. They fend off, they fight off the wolves that come in to try to steal and destroy the sheep. Good shepherds know the voice of their sheep and know who their sheep are. At the same time, the sheep knows the voice of the shepherd. Why? Because they spend time with them. They know them because of the care, the compassion. And ultimately, when it's required, a good shepherd may even lay down his life for his sheep. I mean, that's very extreme. That illustration right there, really? A shepherd would lay down his life for these animals. And, you know, some of them were probably shocked by that illustration. But Jesus, again, here, he was illustrating himself as that shepherd and the sheep as the people who were listening, who were desiring salvation, goodness, fulfillment, and satisfaction in all of life. There are all kinds of voices that we are constantly presented with every day, whether, you know, it is business propositions or people who offer kind of like, man, this is really hard to believe what they're offering. It's almost too good to be true, the things that they are selling us. And sometimes if we are not careful, if we will not be wise, right, we could be duped. We could be conned and deceived by these things. But Jesus, in this illustration, is saying, you know what? If you actually trust me, for those of you who are desiring a fulfilling, satisfying life, that is what I offer, and that is what you will find if you make me, Jesus, your shepherd. If you listen to me and follow me as the one who would lead your life. That is the kind of promise that Jesus was offering to those that were listening to him. And in many ways, this is how it is for us today. We need to learn to listen to the voice of Jesus. If we want to experience the kind of life that he promises, he's already giving them a warning. That was a warning. You know, the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's what other voices who speak into our life, who we allow to speak over our life, can do to us. But if we listen to the voice of the good shepherd, what he promises is a rich and satisfying life. And so how do we do that? If that is what we want, I know that's what I would desire in my life, is to experience that kind of life, then we need to listen to his voice. So how do we follow the good shepherd? We need to know the voice of the shepherd, just like the sheep. You know, how does the sheep actually end up knowing the voice of the shepherd? By spending time with the shepherd. Now you say, well, that's sheep. They don't have a choice, right? That's right. And it's the same thing. Jesus is the one who drew near to us. God is present through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And by us intentionally drawing near to him, it is there that we become more familiar with his voice. You say, how do we do that? His word, through the scriptures, by spending time reading it, listening to it, doing what you're doing right now, listening to a teaching from scriptures, reading it for yourself, meditating on the word of God, and prayer. When we pray, when we come to the Lord, it's not just a one-way conversation, but we pour out our hearts to him and we take time to listen to his voice as well. The more familiar we are with his words through the scripture, as we intentionally spend time in prayer, over time we get familiar with the voice of the good shepherd through the teachings that we read in the scriptures and through spending time in prayer with him. At the same time, we learn to listen to the shepherd. How do we do that? We learn to listen to the voice of the shepherd. Knowing the voice of the shepherd is the beginning, but we also need to listen. What do you mean, listen to his voice? When we spend time together, you know how other sheep are, right? We don't see a sheep alone on itself, but we spend time together with other sheep. We spend time in God's presence, in personal worship, really setting aside time to do that. We get familiar with the voice of God. Listening to the voice of God is intentionally drawing in to his presence. Knowing him begins with Jesus Christ. Knowing the voice of the shepherd, that he truly is the way. He is the gate. That's what he says. He is the way to the Father. That he is the one that promises us. It's putting our faith in him. But as we spend time to listen in personal worship, as we spend time to listen to the voice of the shepherd in fellowship with other like-minded followers of Jesus Christ who also want to hear the voice of the good shepherd, we learn to be familiar with his voice. And finally, we need to learn to trust the shepherd. We need to learn to trust the shepherd. How do we trust the shepherd? We need to follow where the shepherd leads. In this illustration, what we find here, it says here, the shepherd leads the flock. He goes before them, he calls them, and whenever he moves, they just follow his voice. They don't argue with one another and say, hey, do you know where he's going? No, they just listen to his voice and follow him. That requires faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And when we do this, when we learn to know the voice of the shepherd, that is Jesus Christ, when we learn to listen by spending time saturated in the presence of his spirit through his word, through prayer, worship, and in fellowship with other believers, and trust him by walking out in obedience, by living it out in our lives, it is there that we experience a full, a rich, and satisfying life. See, the kind of life that he's offering here is not the kind of life where, you know, you're suddenly going to become abundantly rich. No, that's not what he's describing here. What he's describing here is that you will experience salvation, first of all, in your life, because life will be saved, but at the same time, it will be rich and it will be satisfying. It will be an enriching kind of life. That is the description that we find. An abundant life is a life that is fulfilled, that is satisfied, that despite the fact that you may have lack, that there is still provision, that the shepherd is still meeting your needs, despite the fact that there is kind of chaos happening all around you, the shepherd enables you to continue to experience peace and security in his presence. Even though there is a wolf prowling around, you have the assurance that he is the one that is protecting you, that he is the one that is there guarding you. And when there is lack that's happening right here, you can trust him that he will lead you onwards to greener pastures. This is the job of the good shepherd. And ultimately, we find that in Jesus, because later on, he actually does this. It wasn't just an illustration that a good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, for the flock. Jesus actually does this, literally. He laid down his life, proving once and for all that he is the good shepherd that he was talking about in this illustration. And so we can trust him, because this shepherd, Jesus Christ, did what he said he would do. And he continues to fulfill that every day, every moment. But for us to experience that rich, satisfying life, first of all, we need to discern his voice. We need to know his voice. If there are other voices right now that are drowning out the voice of the shepherd, we need to identify what those voices are and put it in submission to him. And the best way, right, to discern the voice of the shepherd is to tune in to his voice. To listen more to his voice, to meditate more to his voice and his leading rather than these other things. You know, today there are so many things that are fighting for our attention. Social media, entertainment, friends, family, other people, strangers that we don't even know who are shouting at us, who are posting all kinds of things that are leading us or trying to direct us through their own path, through their own principles and way of doing things. But if we know the voice of the shepherd, you know what? We will be able to easily discern what to follow and what to reject. Why? Because we are so in tune to the voice of the shepherd that we will only respond to his voice and reject all other voices. It's like that story in World War I when in Jerusalem, some of the soldiers came and in twilight attempted to steal sheep. And the shepherd woke up while it was twilight and saw what was happening. Of course, he could not overpower these soldiers by force. He had no weapons and there were more of them. You know what the shepherd did? All he needed to do was call out to his sheep. And as he spoke, the sheep ended up following the shepherd and being saved. Or the story about the traveler who decided again to change clothes with the shepherd to see if the sheep would follow him. Even though he looked like the shepherd, right? He probably smelled like the shepherd because of the clothes. It wasn't the looks that the sheep followed. The moment the shepherd spoke, even though he was wearing different clothes, the sheep still followed him. Now, there are going to be people who will be great pretenders, who will appear to look like good shepherds. But in the end, it will be destruction, it will be a life of sin, and it will be chaos, possibly even loss of life. Jesus saying, listen to my voice. As you tune into me, as you trust me, as you follow me, that would be the best way to drown out and to discern all other voices. Why? Because the voice that you listen to directs the quality of your life. So what voice are you listening to today? What is occupying your spare time? What do you listen to the most? What do you read the most? Aside from a sermon or a teaching that you hear, do you listen to anything else? Do you actually read the scriptures after the stream? Or if we don't, then we shouldn't be surprised if we will easily be conned or duped in following or being led in the wrong direction. But as we spend time in the Word of God, as we seek to be filled with His Spirit, tune into His voice, pray, meditate in His Word, and trust Him by obeying His instruction, we will become more familiar with the voice of the Good Shepherd, that is Jesus Christ, and by doing so, not be led astray. Today, I encourage you to do that. If there are things that are distracting you, it may be time to reprioritize and decide what needs to spend more time, have more time, so that you can be more familiar with the voice of the Good Shepherd. It may just be developing a habit of meditating, reading the Word of God, spiritual journaling. That may be a start. And then you can go from there. Because unless we're familiar with His voice, we will not be able to discern other voices that will desire to destroy us. Come on, would you pray with me right now? Father, we are so grateful that You sent Jesus as our Good Shepherd. Jesus, we're grateful that You have loved us with all that You are, and that You were willing to lay down even Your life for us, even before we were of benefit to You. While we were sinners, You chose to die for each one of us. And so today, Lord, help us to know Your voice, to listen to Your voice, and to follow Your leading. Help us, Lord God, to hear Your voice so much more louder than anything else. Because that is the most important voice that we need to hear to experience a full and satisfying life each day. Help us not to be deceived by other voices, but as we become more familiar with Your voice, it is there that we will know and discern the voice to listen to. You may be here right now and you're saying to yourself, you know, that's what I want. I want to have a clearer understanding, hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd. It can begin if you haven't yet surrendered your life or have chosen to follow Him as Master and Lord over all things. All you need to do is to submit to Him today, and you can begin to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. If that's your desire, would you just follow with me in this prayer and pray it as if it's your own prayer? And that could start right now. Lord Jesus, thank You for loving me. Thank You for being the Good Shepherd. Thank You for giving up Your life for me so that I could be redeemed. You willfully did this, Lord God. It was not taken from You. And so beginning today, I ask, Lord God, that You forgive me of all my wrong decisions and my sin, and be my Savior. Be my Lord. Lead me and let me hear Your voice and follow You every day of my life. That is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let us know if that is a decision that you made today, and we would love to help you grow as you follow the Good Shepherd.
We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.